All right, we are back with you here on 1320. We are on the air with you until the next hour. We have Jim Corbin back in studio this morning. And we also have one of our favorite listeners and callers, Dan McCurney, also joining us as well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
First of all, once again, it's nice to see both of you. I know Dan, we see him every once in a while as he comes in. And Jim, we just saw you a few weeks ago.
Last saw Dan at the car wash at the church. What was that, the summer, right?
Yeah, that was back, I think, like in August.
And since then, of course, the pit, your son.
Yeah, the one at the church has been dedicated at the church there.
Yeah, we had that all. And like I was telling Jim yesterday, Brandon's got exams this week, so it was a half a day. So we had to go to Canton, and we brought his book in. So hopefully they'll approve that. We'll get it back. And then on the 17th, we'll go to the old Foxborough company, and he'll have his board of review. And they'll send the paperwork off. Pretty much you go through the board of review. It comes back, they send it to Texas, and you're all set. You got your Eagle Scout. So I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
Long haul.
Was that at the Trailside Museum that you were at in Canton, at the Trailside Museum?
We were we went up 95, and then we went, 93 north, headed to Boston, and the first exit.
138, yeah.
Yeah, one area. So actually, I think we could see Blue Hills, the observatory. Yep. It was up there.
I was telling you, I was there this past Saturday with an old friend of mine, but that's great, though, that he's got that now.
Yeah. Like I said, it's an accomplishment that not many kids do it today. Like I said, we talked about this with Dominic before, and the numbers used to be really high, and now they've really decreased because there's so many activities for kids out there.
Yeah, there really is. And, of course, Jim was here a couple of weeks ago as well, back in studio. And we got some decent-looking weather now for the next
Been, for all outdoor activities, I mean, it's been an amazing stretch of weather, just generally because of the luck of the draw, as I like to say. You know, really, I remember
We can actually use that barbecue now, really, with the way it's feeling.
Yeah. Throw some hot dogs on there.
Dan's got shorts.
Well, that's me.
Really, outside of last winter's snow, snow events that we had, I think the last really bad stretch of weather that affected things was last July 4th, not this past July 4th, but remember when we had Tropical Storm Arthur?
And
But fortunately, the following day, 2 days were weekends, so people were able to postpone their July 4th events. But since then, again, outside of the snow last winter, we've had almost no bad weather affecting most major events, not just in Attleboro, but in surrounding communities. I mean, it's been a really amazing stretch. And then again this weekend, you know, we've got the parade tomorrow, and then the ribbon cutting
at 3 and the Stuffer Cruiser in the morning at 9:30.
Stuffer the Cruiser in South Attleboro. So weather should be fine. You know, obviously, if it's the early morning, it's going to be a little colder. But, if Dan can wear shorts at this hour of the day with temperatures, even still now, what are you showing for a temperature? Probably like 40 or something?
It's actually right 38 right now.
38, okay. Yeah. But it's not. There's not much wind. So, I mean, it's been just an amazing stretch. Again, our luck eventually is going to have to run out. But for this weekend, it
we
looks
hope
great.
Not.
Let's well,
hope
I
not.
Know I'm not rooting for
this
it.
This would be perfect, with this weather that we've got. You said in the mid 50s over the weekend.
Sunday.
Sundays. You said Sunday now, and it looks good now for even as we start Monday as well.
Monday looks good. The next chance of any rain, and it looks like it would be rain, not snow. Although maybe a chilly rain would be Tuesday, later Tuesday night. So we'll be monitoring
Sunday,
that.
Boy, the weekend that would be great for if Brandon starts up the grill on Sunday. That would be awesome. Like,
there's been a few people that said, "Geez, are you going to go over there and light that thing up again?" You know, and we actually I told Jim we had it covered, but we had a lot of windy weather and the tarpaulin. So we're going to get some wood to really cover it over.
So cover it with a tarp
and
Jim, wood. Yeah.
You can actually turn around. There's a drain in there. So anything that gets in there, it's all going to go into Mother Nature, that was a smart thing. Otherwise, you would have had a tub.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're here to talk a little bit about history. I know we've got history. I know, you've been born and raised here in the Attleboro area, Dan, you got your three boys. You know, they're learning now. They've been through the schools and stuff, and they're through the schools. But Attleboro, especially with Attleboro, has been a very historical city. I mean, from the people, businesses, tons of businesses, restaurants, as I said earlier this morning. And you've got some of the books. I think I have one of those books that you have, the Attleboro book.
Yeah, and Dan also has brought in like a business guide.
A business guide.
But an old one, right? How old is that probably?
I think that's like back out of maybe somewhere between the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. In fact, just looking at it from here, it almost kind of looks like some of the same business outlooks that the Chamber of Commerce has, not the Chamber of Commerce, the Industrial Museum has on their back wall in their
black and white.
Yeah, in their old in their auditorium here. That, yes, I could see some of the old, because they've got some of the old, you know, Pleasant Pharmacy and Rojack's and all these old, you know, things that they have on their wall. But I could see, you know, some of these out of this book here. But how did you get into history? I mean, it's something that, you know, it's a passion, I know.
Yeah, you know, I just, like I said, I was born here, raised here, I'll die here in the city of Attleboro. I love it. It's near and dear to my heart. You know, and just by listening to a lot of older guys, I was just fascinated. I used to sit there, right, and pick, like, former mayor Kay Shang, his brain, you know, about things.
Oh, yeah.
Ara Bebarin, he was a historian, right, for Attleboro High School and a lot of the sports.
And Hank, you remember his laundry that used to be on Park Street, right? And then of course, where the Domino's is now is where his land was.
Sure. You know, Hank Pistoli's another one. You know, Hank's cleaners, you know. He knew a lot about the city, you know, the history. So I just like talking to a lot of old guys and just listening to them. You know, today, a lot of the younger kids, they're really not interested. But myself, like I said, I wanted to know a part of the history of Attleboro. And I just enjoyed listening to those guys talking and talking about way back when, the good old days. And even you can go to the barbershop over here on Falmouth Street. And his name's Jack. And he's got a lot of old memorabilia. Right, of pitches and stuff. He's got an old jacket from the Tech tourney. I mean, he was friends with Kay Shang, you know, and they just sit there, you know, and instead of the normal haircut, you know, it would take like an hour to give them a haircut because they were talking and having a great time.
Dan, what is like a small business that is still around in Attleboro now that's been as long as you can remember? If you had to say, you know, there's a, you know, so-and-so, you know, not these big, we can talk about this a little later, the big factory buildings, you know, the jewelry and all that stuff, but what is there a small business that's been around as long as you can remember in Attleboro?
Well, you know, I mean,
Hank's is number one that I can think of, Hank's.
What is that?
You know, Hank's Clean is one.
Just,
you know,
Hank's Pistols.
Morin's.
Yeah, Morin's, 1911.
Morin's is another one.
So Morin's, the diner has been there since 1911?
Yep. Yeah, they started
as a restaurant, or was it something else?
It was called the Franklin Diner, right?
It had a different name.
Yeah.
The father had it. Well, it was the great-grandfather, then the father had it, and then both Billy and Rusty took it over, but Billy more or less took the front end of the restaurant, and Rusty did the catering in the back. But since then, now, Rusty's moved on down to a bigger building here on
Lower County Street. Yeah.
Because they've grown with their catering. But, yeah, they, like I said, they're still there. Ryan and Son Gobshop.
That's right. Ryan and Son,
you know, everybody went there. That's where you got all your sporting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they used to have a lot of scouting and stuff. Ryan and Son, I think they've kind of closed the downstairs part. And then the back end had a problem with a snow.
Yep.
I think they've kind of redone that. But, yeah, there's not really, to be honest with you, Jim, there's not a lot of businesses that are left.
Yeah, you know, when I first started here in Attleboro in 1984, I remember some of the older buildings like Saltzman's, you know.
Sure.
Went in there a few times, Saltzman's. One of the other places that was a real mainstay in the city of Attleboro was not just Claire's Casual, Claire Jeffrey.
Claire's, yes.
But also, oh my God, look who showed up!
I can't stay.
Tom Rafferty's here.
Come on in. Come on in.
Oh my. He's got to head to the doctor.
He's got a ride? He's got to drive?
I have something on my back. I have to every
room. Oh, my God.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, nice to see you.
All right, Tom.
Nice to see you.
Okay. A true icon in studios.
Guy who's been
around. The oldest building in Attleboro, right here.
Probably, yeah. Exactly.
Good to see you.
All right. Yes. Yeah, Tom's got a few other things going on today because he was going to be here as well.
Yeah, but he had something come up.
The other, as I was saying, Saltzman's. The other place... right, kind of directly across from this building, Siddell's, which used to be TV and radio over there. And then...
the buildings are still physically, some of them are still here, like you said, Siddell's, but it's
changed.
Well,
these two tall brick buildings, like five-story buildings here on Union Street on either side, are they abandoned or they still have some...
No.
Which
businesses?
One? Across the street?
Like right across the street?
Yeah, that's the Foster building across the street. There's still businesses in there. There used to be a photography studio in there. In fact, if you remember, Dan knows this one. About 20 years ago, that was this. The Attleboro was called Paddleboro. Remember that
yes.
old thing?
Because
yes, they had some. There used to be a gentleman in there who was a photographer or an artist, and he would have not too interesting photos in there. It was more of an R-rated, X-rated studio in there.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't there a lady, too? She came out of, like, New York?
Yes.
And she was involved.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
And they would basically have straps and paddles, you know, naughty things, basically,
yeah,
if
yeah.
I want to say. And they,
but they were legal? I mean, they didn't get into trouble?
Who knows if they were? Well, they're not there anymore.
No.
But the other building that I can remember in Attleboro for many years and going there all the time was Silman's. Dave Siegel in downtown Attleboro.
Sure. Now, where was that?
That was right on Park Street, across from the Second Congregational Church.
Okay.
In fact, back then, and Dave remembers it. Dan knows this. As years ago, they used to park differently. They used to do on an angle years
sure.
ago. There's some pictures that we have, not just in the Industrial Museum, but in the hallways closer to our restrooms. There are a couple of great pictures of that, and there's parking they used to do.
Parked on an angle.
Right.
On an angle, and what happened was later on when they redeveloped the city there, now the parking is straight, and where used to park on that angle, there's like a little island
mm-hmm.
right there.
That island in the middle by the Gilbert Perry Square? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yes, right mm-hmm. in that area there.
Yes.
Yeah, and we used to have the old Pete Peters. You remember
yep.
that?
Yep. Peters.
What was that? What was that?
Fruit store.
It was
store.
A little fruit stand
yeah.
and newspapers. Oh. Everybody.
Yeah, they only just knocked that down for like what? About 10 some years ago, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
if that.
And I don't understand that because someone else came in after for a short time, but then I thought they were going to do something with a commuter rail for stairs there.
Yeah.
That was the reason to turn around and take that
exactly.
out. It never developed, and now all they've done is landscape that with some bushes and mm-hmm. mulch and stuff like that in that area.
Yeah, that place, they used to have the old, well, years ago, back in the 70s, 80s, the Hallmark store was there.
The camera shop. The Hallmark
yeah.
studio, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there were just so many businesses. I mean, Eastman Supply has been here since day one,
sure.
probably. You know, and the funny thing is, when we used to broadcast in the Bronson Building was actually a former home of the Masonic Lodge. They used to take care of the third
sure.
and the fourth buildings. I did some history last year with them. I went down to the Masonic Lodge. And they were telling me that the old one was near the Academy Building on Sanford Street behind the Y, and then they moved to the second, I believe, in the third floor, was all one floor at the Bronson Museum at 8 North Main.
And over by the Sun Chronicle, they used to have the Odd Fellows.
Yes, yes.
Right, which you don't really even see or hear. I think the closest one is like up in the Franklin, Medway,
yeah.
Medfield area.
Wasn't is that similar to the fire in North Attleboro?
Yeah.
Wasn't that
the old yes. yeah the old building where the fire last year was called the Oddfellows Building?
Is that the same company?
Yes,
or
it's
something?
A group. Yep,
a group?
You know, it's
yeah.
like your Moose, your Elks, and stuff like that. But you really that's really old style.
Yeah.
You don't see too many of those, and there is still one in existing. And
mm-hmm.
I believe it's in either Franklin or Medway. It's in mm-hmm. that area. And the reason I know that because a couple of the gentlemen that are involved in Scouts, they are still members mm-hmm. of the Oddfellows. And
yeah, that building, the one that burned down in North Attleboro, was the original building for, I believe, the North Attleboro Police Station, where a former police chief, Frank Toner, who was the adopted son, a father, rather, of Bobby Toner, Robert Toner Boulevard, where, unfortunately, Frank Toner took his own life in that building.
Yes.
He committed suicide in that building
yep.
Back in probably, what, the 50s, the early 50s.
I think it was, yeah, right around the 50s
like
somewhere.
Yeah, because yep. when we did when Glenn Laxon and I did the story of Bob Toner back in the 90s, which got an award for it, we did this whole thing with, you know, we had pictures of the original. We went to the old North Attleboro barn there
yep.
on Chestnut Street.
Did, now, was Toner Boulevard named after him?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Yeah, because he was, you know, they finally found the plane that he was in, the Lady Be Good, in 1959,
mm-hmm.
but it was lost, you know, in, I think, 43 or 44, and the Lady Be Good was a B-29 bomber, I think. Yeah, I think it was a 29 or a 34 bomber. Which
had B-29.
B-29. And they landed. They were lost. They landed in the desert, and they were, you know, to go. They basically went the wrong way. They got lost, you know, for hundreds of miles, and then until they were all dead, unfortunately. And Bobby Toner wrote everything down in a journal. And the journal, when they found his body, They placed every, when they found them in 1959, they all placed American flags over their bodies. Mm. They did the proper burial, because he's here now in the, at St. Mary's Cemetery there. But when they found the bodies, he still had his diary in his hand. The diary, and I had held it in my hand back in the 90s, in great shape. It was still legible. Very legible, because it was so he had it so close to him and had the his gloves on and in his coat. Wow. It was stayed away from the elements for those 20, 30 years, and it was still in good shape. It was a maroon covered. Yeah, it was a maroon covered.
And where is it now? Where is
it? I believe it's still at the Falls Barn in North Attleboro. Oh, it's wow. on display with a lot of memorabilia from that, including pictures.
It was amazing how that story came out, too, and how it actually happened. Like you said, they were miles and miles mm-hmm. away from where they should have been. And, you know, when the plane turned around and went down, and how they used the parachutes and whatever they had and a little bit of food and, mm-hmm. like, limiting themselves to the water.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it was just totally quite a story. And then to find, like I said, that he actually had that and how well preserved mm-hmm. it was through the years.
Yeah, I mean, a handsome-looking guy. I saw pictures of him. You know, I mean, I know the house that he grew up in is a home that is actually still there now, kind of diagonally from the North Attleboro Plainville line, across from where the Dunkin' Donuts is, right at that right before it gets into Plainville, in that area. It's behind there is Whiting's Pond in that area. People know where that area. But yeah, I mean, in this Attleboro area, you know, one thing that I will say, you know, touring and going into the Industrial Museum next door, that place you could be in there for a week and a half and still not learn all the items. One of these days, I'm going to have the curator come back to this. He was here a few months ago to talk about the stuff there as well. But you can learn so much about the items here in Attleboro
sure.
just by some of the old businesses. Floyd's was a long-time business sure. In the
you
area.
You had London's, you had Jonathan's Alley, you had Floyd's, you had Salzman's, you had Solman's. I mean, Salzman's, they were right where the package store is today, and
yeah.
then they were relocated up close to the Second Congregational Church. Mm-hmm. And that was a family-owned business that actually had a business in Pawtucket, too.
Yeah.
But the gentleman that ran it, Rocco, you'd go in there, and he'd cater to you, and you could get your suit. Everything could be tailored right there. I mean, it was the place. And then, of course, Solman's, the ladies would have their shoe clubs.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you think the Emerald Square Mall has affected downtown Attleboro?
The whole area, not just the Attleboro. Even if you go to North Attleboro, okay, you look at it, all right, and, you know, Vigorito's ain't there. There's a lot
That's
of
right.
businesses.
You're right.
And the mall had a huge play. Everybody wanted the mall, the mall, the
mm-hmm.
mall. But guess what, right? The mall came, and then after you lost all your mom and pop, you could come down to Attleboro, North Attleboro, and do your one-stop shopping. I mean, mm-hmm. literally everything. Now you go to the mall. Well, you've got to worry about, oh, is my car going to get broken
yeah.
into? Am I going to get ripped off?
Yep.
I mean, there's so many things. And see, North Attleboro had a chance to get it, and they didn't follow through.
Really?
North Attleboro.
I always wondered where in Attleboro that they would have had.
Yeah, where would
have put
was
that.
There a site
Well, at one
chosen?
Time, they were looking. What was the guy's name? Tony Redondo? Is that his?
Tony Rando.
Rando.
From South
right,
because
he
He's
had the old
hall.
There used to be a Holiday Inn here in South
oh,
Attleboro
right,
where
yeah.
Where the Home Depot
is. Where Home Depot is now,
yes.
yes.
So that used to, I remember you telling me and Dom telling me about there was a Holiday Inn where the Home Depot is now. And
that was a
Kmart.
Possibility. That,
yeah.
they
That's
were
the, that
right.
was one location.
That was one of the locations.
Yes.
And then it fell through. North Attleboro got it. But once again, okay, taxes a lot of the roads.
That was
you
a
know,
big this, open space there, too, right? The
sure,
one.
Sure it was.
Yeah.
Sure it was.
What was the open space?
Where the mall was. The mall is now. That was a huge area.
Just an area of nothing?
Yeah, and
I mean, it was just woods
it,
or something?
Behind it was the current the fire station, which was always there.
Sure. Yeah, there's a road behind it.
Yeah,
right? it goes,
that's yeah. the Allen Avenue Fire Station. Yeah. And then right down that road is the Allen Avenue School in North Attleboro, where you could actually see, if you're at the top of that garage in North Attleboro at the mall, you could actually look down into the yard of that school,
sure.
of the North Attleboro School there as well.
Well, it used to be the Red Rock Hotel was up there.
Yes.
Then they
yeah.
had
oh,
the,
yeah.
the Red Rock Diner
yep.
was up there. It was like the Greasy Spoon.
Right there on Route 1, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, you go there like late, you know, midnight, you know, and
Red Rock is where the Applebee's is now, right? In that area?
No, that was another place. The Red Rock was more towards The hotel was further down where the Christmas tree shop and all that is.
Okay.
Right? And then
and
you go
the, and where the drive-in
almost
was.
Closer to the mall. That's where the diner was. The place that you're thinking where Applebee's,
that was
a diner right in there.
And
there was a hotel. There was a hotel.
80s.
Yeah. There was a hotel and a diner. It was called Just Joyce's.
That's what it was. I was trying to think of that name for the longest time.
Just Joyce's.
Yeah, I think it was.
That was a diner?
Diner, yeah.
Yeah, Just Joyce's. I remember that one, yeah.
Now, Witchy's was across the street,
yes,
Jack Witchy's.
Jack
now,
Witchy's.
Peg Lake Pete's.
Yes, Peg Lake Pete's.
Best seafood around.
Oh, my God, I do remember that.
And this is all Route 1 in North Attleboro.
Yes, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Was there almost like competition with Attleboro and North Attleboro? About it almost seems like North Attleboro, because it had a long stretch of Route 1, seemed to have more businesses than Attleboro Center, which has a you know congested. I'm saying putting it down, but like have crossing streets. Like, was there almost like a competition?
No, I my opinion, I don't think so, because it was you had your good mix here in Attleboro, and you know then you went up Kelly Boulevard, and then right on the North Attleboro Plainville line, you had a little mixture. There used to be like a clam shack.
Yeah.
Years ago up there. So you had that. You had the old Plainsman. That was there.
Yeah.
Then in North Attleboro, Route 1, like I said, you had Ratty's.
Yeah,
you turn around. There was
hamburgers, right?
Big Lake. Yeah, Ratty's, the best hamburgers.
A&W Jim, here on like County Square.
That big. Yeah, the old A&W was right there on County. The Furtado's, that family turned around and owned that. So Arthur Treacher's was in South Attleboro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I said, there was a lot of different businesses.
Well, how about Luana's, the Mexican place right on Route 1, right in South Attleboro, across from where Almax was, which is Yankee Spirits now.
Yes.
Okay.
So essentially you're saying the Route
1 building's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
The Route 1 stretch, though, from Attleboro into North Attleboro was almost just as, not congested, but again, had a lot of the same as the downtown Attleboro area.
There was a lot, Jim, but there wasn't as much back in
the
heyday.
It was easy.
That Route 1 was your travel back. If you were going to Florida, that's how you kind of traveled.
Right past Jolly Charlie's.
Right in North Attleboro. That Hojo's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lums. They used to call it slums.
Yeah.
Right?
Lums.
On a Friday night.
Lums.
On a Friday night.
How about across from Jolly Charlie's, we have a caller coming in just a second, too. Across from Jolly Charlie's, there was a building.
King's,
yes.
Department store.
And then there was an electrical place in it. It was
that came after the
purple building or the blue, something blue or purple. It had a color to it. That came later because I remember going up to that area.
And the Cold Stone restaurant was there.
The Cold Stone restaurant, yes, right where the McDonald's is now in that plaza. With that thing, we're going to take a break in a second, but we want to go. We have a caller, I guess. We've got now. If you remember some of these items, we would love to have you join us. I wish we had like 4 or 5 hours with this, because this is great. 508-222-1320. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
This is Carla from Brattleboro.
Hey, Carla, how you doing? Jim's with us.
I'm good, but unfortunately, I can hear you now, but it's not coming on the internet. You're not live streaming.
Okay. But to get Jim Jones to check it out.
Yeah. It's probably every once in a while it buffers. So we'll see what happens. We'll try to see what's going on with that.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Did you want to say something to Jim?
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Carla. Hope to see you in a couple of weeks or so. We'll talk down the road.
Okay. Bye. Have a nice weekend.
All right. Thanks. You too. Bye.
Thanks, Carla. All right. We are here with Jim Corbin. I guess our line is down because I can see from our WARAradio.com thing that actually the listeners has actually dropped down to nothing right now, unfortunately. So something is going on with that. So we'll try to get that as soon as possible. I know Jim Jones will work on that soon enough. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Be back in just a couple of moments. Stay with us.
The United Regional Chamber of Commerce will host A Bigger Slice of Business on December 17th from 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Chamber Office, 42 Union Street in Attleboro. Joe Norcott of Business Technologies of New England Incorporated will teach you how to create a marketing plan for the new year and find resources to market your business based on calendar events. You can register for the presentation by calling 508-222-0801.
What is that?
Oh, that? It's my time machine.
Does it work?
Sure. Just hit this button.
Whoa, dinosaurs. Cool.
Or we can go here.
Hey, that's Napoleon.
Oui,
Or we can go to the future.
Wow, hey, you have this nice house. Do I have a nice house?
No, you didn't save any money. Always spent it on vacations and stuff.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and correct that bad habit.
Yep. Okay, the time machine is not real, but the saving thing is. Get in the habit of putting some of your money in savings each week through a 401k, savings account, or financial investments. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy tips on saving, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
What does this crazy little button do?
Wait, no!
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Opening night for the Pawtucket Winter Wonderland is in place and ready to go for Saturday, December the 6th at Slater Park. This dazzling holiday event will feature 500 decorated Christmas trees nestled amongst 20 village buildings located on both sides of the road, around the pond, and winding up the hill. Vehicular traffic will not be allowed between 4 and 8 p.m. so that various activities can take place as you stroll leisurely by these breathtaking displays. For more information, feel free to call 401-726-3185. Clean out your closet and share the warmth with those in need. The Duffy Pool Funeral Home Winter Coat Drive will accept donations of new or gently used winter coats from October the 24th right straight through to December 12th. A winter coat bin will be set up for your convenience at Duffy Pool Funeral Home, located at 20 Peck Street in Attleboro. The coats will then be given to families during the week of December 18th through the 25th at the St. Joseph's Food Cellar, located on Linden Street. Thank you for joining Duffy Pool Funeral Home in assisting those in our community that are truly in need this winter.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore, so you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Community VNA Hospice Care will host their annual Lighting of the Tree of Life in Remembrance ceremony on Sunday, December the 6th, at their Attleboro headquarters located on Emory Street. The program will feature holiday music, refreshments, and the opportunity to recognize a loved one with a star on the tree. For more information about the event or how to add a star to the tree with your loved one's name, simply visit the web at communityvna.com/donate or call 1-800-220-0110.
All right, we are back with Dan McKerney and Jim Corbin in studio. Boy, I tell you, if you could hear the conversation that we're having off the air, you know, this would be great because we're just talking about old businesses that have been here in Attleboro. Going back, Dan, as you said, Attleboro had so many different businesses, you know, all the way up County Street, from County Square all the way up to the city. You had, where the auto store is now, kind of crossed away from where Balfour used to be, where the jewelry outlet is, there was the Dodge company there.
Stan something, right? And yeah, he owned that. And then he moved to North Attleboro. It was Attleboro Dodge, and then he moved to North Attleboro where the old Peg Lake Pete's was.
Yeah, yeah. The other one is, well, of course, everybody, Tex
Attleboro
Barry's
Tire
been
and
still
Appliance?
There. Yes, exactly. And there's
now all of these you're bringing up, Dom. You remember just from what 1980? When did you?
84.
So this is still some of these that you brought up are just since 84, right?
Yes, and even beyond that. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, like most of the ones that I'm talking.
Whereas the ones you're talking about
in the 60s, the 60s. I was born in 63.
But
so.
It's interesting that you're both able to know a lot of these, even since the 80s, and it makes you realize how things have changed because of these big. You know, big stores and the mall and everything else. You know?
You've probably been to Tex Berry's before, right?
No, I haven't.
You haven't. You've been there? Tex Berry's is right over next to the Balfour Riverwalk. Mm-hmm. That originally was not there. That originally was right next door here at one time.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned, and I'm sure you know as well, Dan, next to the Bronson Building was another building, right, where you used to... It was like an apartment building or something that they tore down.
It
was a kind of an ugly looking building.
Yeah,
after
it's the old apartment building right where the drive up through is. Of course, they don't use that now for the Bank of America, which is also not there anymore either. Yeah. But yeah, that used to be back from 88 to 89. Yeah, I think is when they renovated the Bronson Building. We were put in that building. And then they tore that down. In fact, that building, as you remember, Dan, a lot of the homeless people would actually go in there because there was no elevator in there.
Was it kind of an unsafe building?
Yeah, it was unsafe. When we got in there, they changed the flooring a little bit. But we were only there for less than a year. We had the radio and TV in there. We literally had to go up the stairs.
No elevators, though.
The elevator was down. They did not have there was an elevator there, but they never worked.
The old-fashioned ones too, with the metal grates, probably.
In fact, I saw one of them. It's actually the same looking elevator that they have at the Bates Lodge on North Main Street.
Oh, wow.
The one, in fact, they just redid that one. The old kind of left used to be at the Outlet Company. With the door with the chains in. Have to roll it, That was the same ones that they use.
Sure.
All right. Well, we thought we had somebody on the phone. The other stuff now, a lot of the stuff in Attleboro here, businesses. I'm trying to think. A lot of the people in downtown Attleboro. And I'm remembering now. Anderson Chrysler Plymouth.
Sure, Anderson Chrysler Plymouth. You had the community package store, and you had Joy Hings, the Tong family turnaround. I went to school with Kenny. They own that.
Pleasant Pharmacy, where the CVS is on Pleasant Street. Chinatown Gardens. They also had a lot of restaurants here. You had the restaurant, of course, up on Pleasant Street, 123. You had the Chinatown Gardens, where Rockland Trust is, I believe, now.
Well, originally they turned around, you had Burger King. You had Burger Chef and Jeff.
And then D'Angelo's at where the Rockland Trust is now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So even Pleasant Street, where Subway is, that used to be an old Hudson dealership back in the day.
An old car dealership.
Right.
Okay.
And across the way where Papagino's is, that used to be the First National Bank.
Yep.
And then you used to have the First National Store, and then it changed into IGA. Newport Creamery was there, and Sears had their catalog little store where now the Chinese is grown, and there's a
the friendly. The Newport Creamery is where the Chinese restaurant is now. Then
Newport Creamery was there.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If you had to say what building looks the same now as it did. Yeah. 50 years ago, is there a spot in Attleboro outside
the
of the Bronson Building? I know.
Yeah.
Well, that looked the book that and Dan brought in, this business guy that had this,
late 1800s.
The Victor Bonneville and Paul Toledo. The Bronson Building looked almost the same as it did in the late 1800s, right?
Yes.
So you said they did renovations, but it sounds like it was mostly inside, interior.
Yeah. Yes. And because they had, there was stores on the front level, on the first level, and a restaurant, I believe, down there as well. This is years ago.
Yep.
And then across the street, there used to be the theater there.
The Bates Opera House.
Did you ever go into that?
It's still intact up there.
Yeah.
So if you go in there, you can see remnants of the theater?
That's what they turn around.
Certain places, depending. Used to have a lot of other agencies in there years ago. New Hope was based out of there.
Who's the person that's out there now on the streets in a costume?
Oh, that's the dentist.
The giant tooth.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's actually Paul Healy inside there.
Yeah, that's my job before I get here. I'm the perfect tooth.
Exactly.
Well, it's like the east side of Attleboro, okay? A lot of that really hasn't changed. There's been a lot of redevelopment over there with the housing. But, I mean, back in the heyday, if you were on Pine Street, at one end you used to have Giroux. They used to do a lot of the towing way back when for the city. Now... Mike's Tow and Recovery, they have that. Pretty much that building hasn't changed. They've remodeled the inside, but that building is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Then you came over to where you had Nolan's Spa. Now, that's vacant right at the time. Pretty much that hasn't changed except the outside. It's been changed a couple colors. Then you have a couple little stores that are there, and then you have Zip's Liquor Chest. That hasn't changed.
Pine Street. In,
you know, forever. Yeah. Then you had Pelletier's Automotive next door. Yep. Then you had my father's garage. That still stands there. I can tell it's a garage because they've just painted it a different color. They boarded up, you know, the doors with concrete and stuff like that. You go down the road, and then you came to Blair, right? That's still there, right? They've just done a few modifications. Mm-hmm. J&J Tavern. Right, that's what it used to be. It's changed a couple of times. That's still intact. So a lot of that stuff, the only thing that's really gone was the old Zito's Market.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much that whole street
Mickey
has
Zito's
been the same.
Place, yeah.
You know what I've always thought, and again, it's not just with Attleboro, but why over the years they have not updated, for example, or heightened the overpasses so that trucks can get through. I mean, that's always a, you know, even that one, not just the arch right downtown there, you know, by Park Street, but there's that other one when you go up Pleasant and you take a right, and there's a like about 10 feet height. You know the street, what's that street?
Well, there's one on Forest Street. You've got one by TI.
Yeah, if you go out of the downtown on Pleasant Street, you take a right. Yep. But I'm just wondering why over the years. I mean, I know the arches were built, I want to say, and again, I know a lot of this from this book, but reading about it over the years, but the arches were built like in like 1907 or 1908, you know, to go through before, of course, the trains would just go right through the center. But why, I know because of automobiles then were, you know, smaller, I guess, but you wonder why, if would Attleboro be better off if they were able to get more trucks to go through the downtown?
Mm-hmm. Possibility, but then you're losing a part of history too when you're taking things like that down, and now you're looking at railroad tracks and everything else. So I think, you know, far as the infrastructure.
Well, it's like the but it's the old running joke where a truck got stuck under an overpass, not in Attleboro, somewhere a few years ago, and they couldn't figure out, they couldn't get it out of there, and the little girl called up and said, "Why don't you just let the air out of the tires?" Mm-hmm. You know, and they did it, and they did. But the point that is, maybe they could dig down and lower the roadway and keep the arches, you know, right in Park Street there. And again, you know, the architecture is great, but maybe they lower the road
and
a
then,
little bit.
Then the highway department would think about flooding.
Flooding it.
Well, they could put a drain, though, just like you did.
Yeah,
with your,
they could.
No,
they could.
That's
put
actually a great idea.
Drain.
Yeah.
You know, lower the, and again, it's in that other overpass, you know, again, I think, is it Forest Street? You take a right.
One on Forest Street.
Forest Street's one. Peck Street's the other one.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. And
that's really,
then
really
right
bad.
Over here is not too bad. I mean, the one over here off South Main next to the, that's where the buses come in with the train station, that's kind of low. But yeah, that there's another one that's, it's not here, but there's another one. And I remember one, there was one up in, is it Norwood? A Norwood area?
Oh, yeah.
There's one that's very, very tiny.
There's a camera on it, and every few weeks, the TV stations in Boston show a truck smashing into
it. There was one a few
it.
Months ago, there, or last year, who went underneath that. I think it was a lobster truck or something that went under.
But no, it's just something, as again, I lived in Attleboro for six and a half years, and you know, 15 years ago, so I don't know as much as you guys do, but in reading this book, it's been an issue for many years as trucks got bigger. Obviously, automobiles were, in 1907 and 1908, were not an issue going underneath that, but every few months, you see someone stuck under there.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, there's signs posted everywhere.
Oh, I know.
But you know what? A lot of these guys, you know, they're in a rush. They think they can beat it. And they figure, hey, if I can make it by an eighth of an inch, I made it. But guess what? You got to remember that now, this time of the year, too, with the weather, okay?
Yeah.
Right, your tires are going to fluctuate with the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, you think that you got to beat by an eighth. Well, guess what?
And
now you're a half inch too high and goodbye.
Yeah, and think about it. When it snows and there's a few inches on the road,
sure,
that actually raises you up and you have less of a chance of getting under the bridge.
We got our WARRadio.com fixed. So
that's
Jim
good.
Fixed that up. All right, we're going to take a call right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Tom, it's Walter.
Yes.
Just wanted to give you guys some information on the archways.
Yes, thanks.
Because I looked into it. And
speaking of our next guest on Monday, you'll be joining here at this time on Monday as well.
Well, maybe they'll call in and talk about something that I'm talking about. No, the problem is that in order to keep the archway structures stable and safe, both for the trains to go on top and for the traffic to flow under it, there are marble or granite slabs under the sidewalks that actually go into a portion of the roadway from each of the support areas. So you have the support areas on each side of each archway, plus the center section of the archway also has that slab under it that protrudes under the ground into the what would be under the roadway. So by the time you would get down to that level, now the possibility is that if you disturb those at all, you're going to disturb the integrity of the archways themselves, and that's why they've never gone lower than the depth that the roadway is now.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I guess if that's
sense,
the case.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, you've seen, I mean, Walter, I mean, you've known, you've been in the city for so many years now, and you've seen, you know, almost every other week or so, the pictures in the newspaper about, here we go again, you know, it's like another truck or something, you know, spilling its load or on its side, you know, and it's, I mean, as you said, these signs have been there for many years, and, they think they can do it, but unfortunately, uh-uh.
Well, you know, as you know, I was a truck driver for many years.
Right.
And one of the things that you are supposed to learn is you know the statistics of your vehicle that you're driving. So you know what the height is, you know what your width is, you know what your weight capacity is, all of these different things. And I've been in situations myself when I was still working where I would come across a bridge that there was no postings whatsoever as to what the height limit was. And I would just kind of eyeball it, and I'd say to myself, well, I know that my box is 12-3 or whatever the case may be at the time, and saying to myself, I'm not going to make it out of that sucker. I've got to go all the way back to where I made the cutoff to come here and find a different way to get there. So it's really the driver's responsibility. But, you know, we put up signs everywhere, and in advance, we even put up a driver's escape route in the downtown, so which takes them down Railroad Avenue. So if they've missed all the other signs, when they get to a point where they're coming into the downtown area from North Main, South Main, or County Street, and they make that turn, now all of a sudden they eyeball the archways, and they say, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to make it under that. Well, we have a reflective sign which states truck escape, and that's right at the corner of Railroad Avenue. So they can make that right turn onto Railroad Avenue and get over to Mill Street and then make a right turn again. There is a big sign at the end of at the end of Railroad where it meets Mill, to direct them back towards South Main Street, and hopefully they'll follow the truck route signs from there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, now this is it's amazing now, you know, yet I mean, you've seen a lot of changes, you know, living in the Attleboro area for so many mm-hmm. years. You've seen a lot of things going on, come and go, and as Dan and Jim said, that, you know, just it's amazing how some of the businesses are still here. You know that you've still got some mainstays here in the city, and of course some of them are gone, but it's kind of nice to see some of the some of the older businesses that are still trying to make it here in the Attleboro area, like Eastern Supply, or mm-hmm. like Ryan and Sons, or even like Morin's. You know, you still got some, you know, you got some of the faithful people out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And without those folks or the people who have bought the buildings when some of the other businesses moved out, without them redesigning and redeveloping some of the buildings, the downtown wouldn't be in the renovations period that it's in right now, and not just with the buildings themselves, but with the MBTA. When the MBTA came in and gave, you know, started their multiple routes from the Attleboro area up into Boston, that's when it really made a difference in the downtown Attleboro as far as traffic and everything else goes, compared to the way it used to be when I was growing up in the 60s, where the downtown was the place to go. And the, for me, anyway, I was in my early teens and mid-teens, and that was the place to meet girls. And, you know, everybody was out. There was it. Wednesdays or Thursdays were paydays, and all of the stores stayed open late because of all of the mills. And, of course, everybody had an hour for lunch. And so you could go downtown on your lunch hour and, you know, just walking and visit all those stores that were down there. And you could get a lot of stuff done in that hour every day.
Yeah, what we you know, I don't know if we're gonna ever going to do this, but I know, you know, the sidewalk sales and the downtown sidewalk sales that we had here back in the 80s, you know, they were always very, very popular, the Wednesday night markets. But the sidewalk sales is basically what it started off back in the mid to late 80s.
Right, right.
But I tell you, and the other ones that I remember. In fact, I remember going through the old buildings. Well, first of all, a lot of people may remember the Fishnet right across from across from the Sun Chronicle, a great seafood restaurant is where the Christopher Heights is now, the Sugarman and the Bates and Clink building right there as well.
That's right, and I think before. I think I was on the council when that was purchased. At the time, it was a storage area for caskets,
yes.
As I remember.
Yep, exactly.
Like a warehouse or something like that.
Yeah, Judy Robbins, when she passed, God rest her soul, actually, some years ago, when I was working for Inland Cable, it took me through that building before it was demolished, and there were some of the old caskets that I'm trying to remember. Actually, was it Foley or Cook's Funeral Parlor using that at the time?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I'm trying to say it may have been Cook's Funeral Parlor. Velma Cook's husband was running, I think, using that for storage. But yeah, I remember seeing the old. In fact, when they demolished it, I think two or three were still tried to get unearthed. They were empty, of course, but I guess one of the funeral parlors did not take two or three of them out there, and they ended up taking them. I think one of the whoever was taking the stuff out of there ended up saying this goes back to wherever, and I think they called whoever. Well, I think they called Foley or Hathaway, whoever it was at the time, and they said no, just get rid of them.
Oh.
Yeah,
and who knows?
I know.
But you're right, they were empty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and those buildings, the Bates and Clink and the Sugarman, were jewelry manufacturers too, right?
Oh, yeah, originally. Yeah, I think they all were.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you look in the Hebronville section and Dodgeville section, you still see many of the old homes on South Main Street.
Yeah.
Are the old factory housing, because all of those old factory buildings, which are either being in the process of being converted or were converted into housing eventually, were very, very large manufacturing businesses in the jewelry industry, and the reason they would set up housing is, you know, the old story about the business owning the village, and so they had housing. They would bring people in to work, and that's how where a lot of the immigrants that came into Attleboro originally. They came in because the businesses needed the workers, and they drew them in from overseas or other parts of the country, and many of them couldn't speak English at the time, and they would have sections of housing that would be all French folks or all Italian folks or whatever the nationality was at the time. But the whole idea was You had the company store, you had the company housing. So whatever you made in the company kind of went back to the company in one way or the other. And it just it formed a loop of income for the company.
Hmm, interesting. Well, we got a lot of other things to talk about, of course, with other stuff, things that we both will talk about on Monday. Of course, we'll probably see you tomorrow at the parade.
Not the parade necessarily, but I'll be at the animal shelter for the opening.
Oh, that'd be great. And that is something that's well overdue, that's for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the weekend, Walter.
All right, you too, guys.
All right, we'll see you on Monday.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. There goes City Councilor Walter Thibodeau, who will be retiring in another few weeks. So we're going to have him in here on Monday in the last hour. It is 9:52. We have Dan McKerney and Jim Corbin in studio for a bit. He brings up a lot of great things. We were talking about basically about the not just the businesses, but the archways and stuff. So, but you know, as he said, there's been just so many different changes in here, and you just go back to all these old buildings. And those buildings on South Main Street.
Well, speaking of old buildings, and again, this book that I read, someone gave me years ago about Attleboro, there's one of the oldest buildings in Attleboro is on Elizabeth Street, right on the corner there. I think it's
the Daughters of the American Revolution Hospital.
You know that one?
House right there.
Yeah, I think someone said that it had been moved or something, but it's one of, is that true? I don't know if either one of you would know. Is that one of the oldest houses in the?
It might be. There is a historic register on that home.
Yep. There's also, on Elizabeth Street, I think.
On
the corner.
We're at the corner of North Main Street and Elizabeth, right across from CVS. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there must be a couple of others in town that both of you might know.
I'm thinking, is the Anderson House really that old? The Girl Scout house up on off of County.
Put it this way, I've known it to be old, but that doesn't mean
it's a Girl Scout house off of County Street. I think it's what, like 3rd Street or 4th Street? 4th Street, I believe.
4th Street.
The 4th Street Market used to be down there, 4th
Street
too.
Market was over there, too.
That was market. In fact, that was the street that Peter Gay's mom and dad lived on. Bucky and his wife lived next to there as well.
Now, how long has the courthouse been there? Do you know?
As long as I can remember.
Yeah, it's been
my dad used to turn around and plow that back in the heyday. Yeah, because Mr. Buzzier, he was pretty much the...
Is that George's dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the groundskeeper and all that. And so, of course, he got my father to plow it. So,
as far as you can remember, though, there's never been another courthouse in Attleboro, another location.
Everything's been right there.
Yeah.
I'm actually taking a look at it, and I'm seeing if there actually is a date on there. 88 North Main Street, Attleboro District Court. Now it's there must be someplace. There must be a cornerstone someplace. But
they've done renovations.
They
did. Of course, there was a fire there a few years ago.
Yeah,
wasn't there?
They actually then they did the renovation with the for the handicap accessible a few years ago.
You know where there's another old building too, right over by the Bronson Building. Okay. Right across almost from Ryan and Son. That used to be an old electrical, phone
yes.
building.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That and Tata Tina's was in there for a while.
Yes.
But that was a phone
for
years and years. And then I think they moved it over to Bank Street.
Yes, it was like a Bell Telephone, building. Where
but you're saying it could be 100, 200 years old, you think?
It could be.
You
look at the structure, you can even tell, Jim.
Now, in the last 50 years, or Dom, a little bit less, but living in nearby, you'd know, what has probably been the biggest major event that Attleboro is known for? Like, I know when I was living in Attleboro, that big explosion on George Street was a big thing.
Yeah.
But
La Salette Shrine.
Yes.
That, okay.
When they turn around and
the big fire there?
Burn, that is the biggest would ever turn around.
That was
and
what,
say.
About 15 years ago? When was that?
Which one?
That was back in, like, around 19... 98, 99, somewhere around that area.
Around that. Yep. And then 1998 also was the George Street explosion.
Right.
And then 1964, the Thompson Chemical fire.
Thompson Chemical. That's another
where was that? Did it burn to the ground? Or
yeah.
Pretty much?
That was at the Attleboro Seekonk line. The Hebronville section, yep. Kind of off of
152 up by LaCave, Suzanne's.
Yeah, up in that area.
What are both your thoughts, and it's not Attleboro, but it's Seekonk, the grist mill being rebuilt?
Well, I think it's a great idea. It's about time. I mean,
Definitely, and I'm glad that they're redoing that whole intersection.
That's been a
nightmare. Forever
that's
and ever.
That's by the Runnins River, they call that.
Okay, yeah.
Runnins River.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go by that every day when I worked at Channel 12.
Have either one of you been there since it's been redone?
Twice. Yeah, I was there back on November the 19th, last month. And when it...
Does it look the same inside?
Yeah, basically, yeah. And then we were there back last January because just last month, they just celebrated their first anniversary. It was like the 12th or 13th of November when they opened up last year.
So it's kind of like it used to be, pretty
close?
Yeah,
they've got the entrance is more on where the water is now. They used to have kind of the main entrance on the other side of the street, kind of where the... the
parking
side,
lot was
on the opposite side when almost kind of like where after the old Firefly Golf Course on that road right there, that street there, whatever that street is, but now it's kind of like pushed on the other side.
What is for Attleboro probably the well known oldest restaurant to go to?
The oldest restaurant?
Probably Morin's.
It probably would have been Morin's, and it's funny because you say that behind Morin's years ago. Right, there used to be Watson's Diner.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and across from Watson's Diner, I think it was the Tip Top Restaurant, which is the parking lot where Webster Bank is. That was there.
Okay.
And on Bank Street, there used to be Bonnie's Diner. Bonnie's Diner wound up in North Attleboro for the longest time in somebody's backyard.
Wasn't there a Park Tavern or something?
Yeah.
Park Tavern, yes.
Which is not there anymore?
Park Tavern is kind of in the same parking lot as at the CVNA right on Emory Street.
Right, is that still there? Mutual gas station.
And in this book from years ago, there used to be a Park Hotel.
Yes,
I guess.
That was right where next to Salzman's, right?
Right next to Salzman's, next to the Second Congregational.
And the Second Congregational Church also had another church, a white church, near where the arches were, right at the center.
They tore that down. The book that I read has the
and
pictures.
And further up by the where Ryan and Sons does, there used to be a place called Johnny's Tavern. Way back when.
Uh-huh. And there used to be a department store, again, all from this book. Again, I'm not knowledgeable too much about Attleboro, but Sanssouci, I think it was called?
Yes. Sanssouci was...
was on Park Street, I think, right near where, almost across from that Bank Street building with
kind
the
of
department.
Kind of almost in the area where Scorpio's is now, in that vicinity. Sure. Oh, actually, I think they were next door to where C.
You might
Peters
have it in
was.
Here.
Well, that's like here, okay? Walter's Market. You had one right over here on Park Street.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then there used to be another Walter's Market that was next to the old Pleasant Pharmacy and Stop and Shop area, and they used to throw sawdust on the floor.
Really?
Back in the heyday. So,
M.F.
Ashley's. Well, here's a couple of them. I mean, Walter's Market was here in town. M.F. Ashley's Company, they were over on Holman Street. You had your First Federal Savings Bank. You had the old Woolworth, Woolco. Al's Jacobs Repair, right? The building's still there.